was struggling this morning. That wasn't a word for it. I was telling Jason and Sonia, I have never been attacked by the devil so viciously in 31 years standing behind the pulpit. At one point, I almost said, I'm done. I was going to quit and walk out the door. It was that bad. It was that rough, man. It was just beat the fire out of me, and I am so wore out. I went home and slept an hour, and I'm still tired. But anyway, that's what I get for preaching, I guess. So, yeah. Yeah, I know that. That's what I was trying. That's all.
But you did very well.
Yeah, it was. It was because for me looking at you and saying they're not getting this. I know that was just the devil, but for an instant I just almost closed my Bible and said, I'm done pastoring. And walked out the door. It was that horrific for about 10-15 seconds, and then it was. But anyway, the Lord got me through it, and that was one of the longest hours I've ever spent. I do have a situation, believe it or not. We've got a lot going on, and. Of course, we're going down to Polson and preaching, and Victory Baptist preaching, and with everything else. Well, Brother Habman called me last night, and wanted me to come down and preach for him. His health. He says, the doctor says I've got to take a sabbatical and leave for a couple of months, but I'm not going to. So he's going to take off 2 or 3 weeks before the camp meeting. So he asked me to come down and preach to June the 2nd, all three services. Jason's going to be at Victory Baptist, and Clinton's going to be at Polson. And so please pray about it. And I was just talking to Jason, and I'm saying, I'm not getting too worked up about it because I've got to call Brother Sam, and they were having a meeting today of what he's going to do. And so maybe the Lord's already got it straightened out and everything. But just keep it in prayer. The church is doing very well. He said that Brother Sturgeon graduated from the school, and he's working in a clothing store back there. And Mary is getting ready to leave for a couple of months to spend in China with Eddie Mills, you know, the big tall guys that was here. And I said, well, how's the kids doing? And he says, not very good. So just keep them in prayer. It's tough. So a lot going on right now. So just keep everything in prayer. But the church itself down there is doing good. We don't know what's going on with Sam, Brother Sam at Polson. I'm going to call him tomorrow night and talk to him. And then Victory Baptist, just keep all these things in prayer. And of course... Bible Baptist, Ed Keel is coming in 2 weeks to candidate that church. And so just a lot going on. Amen. Well, Brother Havman's down there, John Havman. Yeah. So, okay. So, anyway, just keep everything in prayer, and it's a lot going on, and it's a strain on our church, but that's all right. I think the Lord's blessing, and so. Well, now that's who Brother Sam is. That's who. When I say Brother Sam, that's the one down in Polson that we're talking about, and they were going to have a meeting of the whole church today, because he's already made the statement that he's leaving by the end of the summer. You don't know what he's going to do, but he's got four little kids to raise, and they were going to have a meeting, and so I'll call him tomorrow night, and maybe, because starting next week, our guys were supposed to go down there 1 week down there, and Jason and Clinton, you know, switch, but Victory Baptist is in trouble. So I'll know more hopefully tomorrow night of what's going on, anyway, just keep it in prayer, because he doesn't have a clue, and that's okay. I told him he doesn't need a clue. I mean, he just needs to let the Lord work him day by day through it, and he will. So anyway, it's a very sad situation. He's not doing well. He's doing as good as to be expected, and chapter 14, book of Revelation, so keep Brother John in prayer. He didn't say what it was, but I'm sure he's having heart problems, I think. Not that he's living bad, but actual heart problems. but he said people down there are really, he said they treat me so good, and he said they're so good of people. I said, yeah, I know. So anyway, it's a real blessing to him. So, all right, Revelation chapter 14, and we're going to start at verse 18, and actually go into chapter 15, maybe a little if we got time. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, again, we do thank you for your goodness, your mercy and grace. Thank you for your word. Thank you for your church that you created, Lord, and you established. We appreciate what you've done for us. We thank you for the ministries you've given us. We thank you for allowing us to be used in different places and different things. Lord, we know it's just you and your goodness to us. And we thank you that you would even think of using us for anything, especially me. I appreciate it so much. Lord, that each one of the ministries you've given us and to help these churches, if that's possible. And so again, we just thank you for your goodness. We pray that you'll be with us tonight. We thank you for the ones that are coming out. We do think Cheryl, Tuesday, Lord, operation, that this will be the minor, lesser of the two operations that has to be done, so the recovery will be quick and she can get on with her life. And we thank you for seeing Eric and Tammy here today and the kids, and appreciate that. And the others that came in today, it's a blessing. So, Lord, be with us tonight. Again, we thank you for being so good to us and taking care of us. And we appreciate it. In that name we pray. Amen. So in chapter 14, and we're going to just kind of start reading about verse 14. And I looked, and behold, a white cloud, and upon the cloud one set like unto the Son of Man, having on his head a golden crown, and in his hand a sharp sickle. And another angel came out of the temple, crying with a loud voice to him that sat on the cloud, thrust in thy sickle and reap, for the time is come for thee to reap, for the harvest of the earth is ripe. Now you got to remember, when we're talking about here, it's in the middle of the tribulation. What's going on, okay? Revelation 14, you're right in the middle of the tribulations. The angels, they're reaping, and you know the old the death angel with the scythe. That scythe was used for reaping grain and cutting it and reaping it. So that's what's going on. So there's a reaping going on, and of course it's not of grain, it's of people, okay, on the earth. And so verse 15, and another angel came out of the temple crying with a loud voice to him that sat on a cloud, thrust in thy sickle and reap, for the time has come for thee to reap, for the harvest of the earth is ripe. And he that sat on the cloud thrust in his sickle on the earth, and the earth was reaped. Now notice, the one that sat on the cloud is doing this, okay? You say, are these literal sickles? I don't know.
Popsicles.
What are
they?
Popsicles. Okay, well, I don't know about the popsicles are pretty good. This is not good reaping. So anyway, he says, huh? These are all people on the earth that have rejected God. They're being killed. They're being slaughtered by these angels. Yeah, because see, they've already rejected God and everything about Him. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, that's what it is. And then verse 17, it says, and another angel came out of the temple, which is in heaven, he also having a sharp sickle. So these, you say, are these literal? They could be. The Lord uses a sword, and so it could be. And then verse 18, and another angel. So you got all these different angels came out from the altar, which had power over fire, and cried with a loud cry to him that had the sickle, had the sharp sickle, saying, thrust in thy sickle and gather the clusters of the vine of the earth. Now this is the battle of Armageddon right here. That's what this is. And who's they talking to? The Lord's doing the one that's with destroying. Because you remember when they it's in the battle of the Valley of Gehenna, so it's called the Battle of Armageddon. And when they get through, the blood's running to the bridles of the horses. Okay, well, who's doing this? The Lord Jesus Christ is doing this. Okay, so then in verse 19, and the angel thrust in his sickle into the earth and gathered the vine of the earth and cast it into the great wine press of the wrath of God. Now what did they do in the wine press? They tromped the grapes till the juice came out. Well, that's a terminology that they used there, that the Lord is trampling on these people like they're a bunch of grapes. And the blood is running. I mean, this is billions and billions of people. Why? That they rejected God. Forever they've been rejecting God. And in verse 20, and the wine press was trodden without the city. So this is Jerusalem. All through, down through Megiddo, the Valley of Megiddo leads into the city of Jerusalem. So all around this Jerusalem and the wine press, that's where the trodden of the grapes are, the people, and the blood came out of the wine press even under the horses' bridles. So what's that, 4 foot deep? Okay. And even under the horses' bridle by the space of 1,600 furlongs. Now think about this. This blood is running 4 foot deep. It's an eighth of a mile wide, 4 foot deep, 200 miles long. That's approximately what it is. What? How many people, how many pints of blood in a person? 4 to 5? And now this is horses and animals and and people.
What led all of them to that?
Do what?
What led all those billions of people to that area?
They're coming to destroy Christ. Well, yeah, they're bringing them in. Why? But their idea, they are coming in to do battle with the Lord Jesus Christ
from all over the world.
Well, it is. Yeah, yeah. It is. Satan is doing it. Yeah, it's all orchestrated by Satan. He literally thinks he's going to come in and destroy the Lord and take over Jerusalem, because you got to remember what has happened all before this is Satan is sitting in, he's in the temple in Jerusalem, sitting on the Holy of Holies where God is supposed to sit, and he's saying, I am God, and he's deceived the world, and so now he is orchestrating this thing to come in and to attack the Lord Jesus Christ and his followers, which are in heaven, which would be us, to try to destroy them. And so Christ is he's just tromping them down. And so again, yeah, that will give you an idea of what's going on here. And so yeah, yeah. Well, see, that's where it says that the Euphrates River, the Nile rivers, will all be dried up. Now, you're talking about a miracle. Think about it, because that's how China is going to come over. They're going to come over, and they'll come over on dry land. And why? Because these rivers will be dried up. And not only that, I believe during that time, pretty well all the landmass will come back to be one landmass at the top of the world, which is around Jerusalem. And so all these billions of people, what is it? How many billions of people on the earth now? What, six billion? Do what?
6 or 7 billion?
Yeah. Okay. And a large part of that, I mean, that we can understand millions, but we can't even understand billions, the number of billions. China has something like 3 billion. Or 4 billion. I mean, but anyway, so that's where they're going to come from. Now let's look at together. Hold your place here, but go to Psalms 68. And do you realize most Baptist churches teach that we're going to go through this? The Christian is? No, we're not. Psalm 68. Psalm 68, look at verse 21. But God shall wound the head. Now, what's the context here? It's the battle of Armageddon in the tribulation. But God shall wound the head of his enemies, and the hairy scalp of such as one as goeth still in his trespasses. So this is when God wounds and kills one of the heads of the dragon. The Lord said, I will bring again from Bashan, I will bring my people again from the depths of the sea. Now, that is talking about the second coming. That sea is not the Pacific, or that sea is the sea that's between the second and third heaven. When Christ comes back, he brings his people with him. Who's that? Us. We're riding behind it. You say, well, during this time of battle of Armageddon and the Lord's coming through the Valley of Gehenna, where are we going to be? He's going to be doing what? Riding a white horse. Well, who's going to be with him? We are riding white horses on white horses. That's what it says, Revelation 19. And we're following him. We're not doing the fighting. He's doing the fighting and the slaughter. We're just behind him as prospects. I, you know, we're just viewing this. But look at this. It's what it's saying. The Lord said, I will bring again from Bashan, I will bring my people from the depth of the sea, that thy foot may be dipped in the blood of thy enemies. Now, whose foot? His people. Not only is his garments going to be stained red, like what happened if you got into grapes and started squashing them. That's why when you see old photos, the women and the men, they would gird up themselves, you know, all up above, because when they're tromping, if they didn't, why, the bottom of their skirts and their pants would be stained with grape juice. But this is vine is blood. And so he says, verse 23, that thy foot, now he's talking to us, may be dipped in the blood of thy enemies. In other words, if you're riding a horse and that about 4 foot, that blood just about the tip of your horse is trodden through. These white horses, miraculous spiritual type horses, white horses is that we're riding. Well, hold your place here. Well, let's read and then we'll go back and see it. And dipped in the blood of thy enemies and the tongue of thy dogs in the same. And so now, go to Revelation 19. So you see this and get what it's talking about. Revelation 19 and verse 14. It starts out. Now, you've never heard a word about the church from chapter 4 all through 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18. You never hear a word about the church except right here. Okay? In verse 14. And the armies which were in heaven followed him up on white horses, clothed in fine linen, white and clean. See, that's us. And out of his mouth goeth a sharp sword, that with it, see, he destroys these people with his mouth, his word. They're slain and trampled, and all these, the millions of horses are trampling through them. And out of his mouth goes a sharp sword, that with it he should smite the nations. See, they're all right there. And he shall rule them with a rod of iron. That's talking about the millennial reign. Okay? So, that's, now what does he look like? Well, go back up at verse 11. And I saw heaven open, and behold, a white horse, and he that sat upon him was called Faithful and True, and in righteousness he does judge and make war. His eyes were flaming of fire, and his head were many crowns, and he had a name written that no man knew but he himself, and he was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. Okay? So that's what we're talking about here. Now, go to Psalm 78. I should have had you stay there. Psalm 78, and look at verse 65. Then the Lord awaked as one out of sleep. Now, what happens when you wake up out of sleep? Somebody wakes you up and you're not ready to get woken up. What are you doing? You know, kind of angry about it. Then the Lord awakened as one out of sleep, and like a mighty man that shouteth by reason of wine. He startled. What's going on? You know, he was a dead sleep and somebody woke him up. The Bible says that the Lord, now we know that in either slumbers or sleeps, but as the world thinks that God must be sleeping and taking away, must be taking a nap or something, that's the reason all these bad things are happening. So this is a picture of this happening as the world sees it. That in verse 65, then the Lord awakened as one out of a sleep, and like a mighty man that shouteth by reason of wine. Why? He is angry. What? At the world. And he's coming back to fix it, take care of it. So now go to Isaiah. Isaiah 63. Isaiah 63. And look at verse 1. We're seeing it again. Isaiah 63, verse 1. Who is this that cometh from Edom with dyed garments from Bozra? This that is glorious in his apparel, traveling in the greatness of his strength. Well, what is this? I that speak in righteousness, mighty to save, wherefore art thou red in thy apparel, and thy garments like him that treadeth in the wine fat? So see what's going on here. Now there's two questions that are asked here, and then he gives the answer of what's going on. Verse 1, now who's able to save someone's soul? No one but Christ. Okay. Matthew 10:28 says, and fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. And verse 2, wherefore art thou red in thy apparel, and thy garments like him that treadeth in the wine fat? Now he asks another question. And verse 3, I have trodden, now notice, and he answers it again. I have, now this is afterwards. See, this is talking about after all that's been done. He says, I have trodden the winepress alone. Now, wait a minute. I thought, said that we were with it. We are. But he's the one that's doing the fighting. He's the one that's doing the slaughtering. He's the one that out of his mouth cometh a two-edged sword and is killing the billions of people and shedding their blood. He is the one that's actually doing it. But we're there with him. And so he says, I have trodden the winepress alone, and of the people there was none with me, for I will tread them in my anger and trample them in my fury, and their blood shall be sprinkled upon my garments, and I will stain all my raiment. So here in verse 4, for the day of vengeance is mine, is in my heart, and the year of my redeemed is come. Well, the day with the Lord is 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is one day. And I looked, and there was none to help. And I wondered, now he's talking about being on earth, and I wondered that there was none to uphold. Therefore my own arm brought salvation unto me, and my fury is upheld me. It upheld me. And I will tread down the people in my anger, and make them drunk in my fury. And I will bring them down, and I will bring down their strength to the earth. So now that is the God that most churches are not preaching about. He is a God of love, but he's going to be a God of anger. He's also a God of wrath. Now just so his people would know both sides, look at verse 7. I will mention the loving kindness of the Lord. Now look here. Now notice here, we get both sides of it. I will mention the loving kindness of the Lord and the praise of the Lord according to all that the Lord hath bestowed on us, and the great goodness toward the house of Israel, which he has bestowed on them according to his mercies and according to the multitude of his loving kindness. So that loving God that loved us so much that he gave himself to die for us will also put a person in hell for rejecting him. Just the way it is. And they go through the end of the tribulation, and they reject God, and they reject God, and they fight against God, and finally he gets fed up with it and brings it to an end. You say, well, by all them good people, there's none of them good. They're wicked people. If they were good, they would have received Christ when they could have. Okay? So don't feel sorry for them people. Look at Isaiah 34. Now, this is the same thing that we're talking about in Revelation chapter 14 about all these reaping and gatherings. Look at, where did I say, Isaiah, where did I say to go? Isaiah 34, yeah. And look at verse 7. And the unicorn shall come down with them. You say, was there really unicorns? Sure there were. But they weren't too smart of an animal. Isaiah 34 and verse 7. There were unicorns, and they weren't too smart. Okay? Now, I don't know how big they were or anything. And the unicorn shall come down with them, and the bullocks with the bulls, and their land shall be soaked with blood. So evidently there's going to be unicorns in heaven, and these horses just may be that we're riding just may be unicorns. Huh? Do what? A unicorn is one horn.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was a bull with one horn.
No.
They pictures of it in
archaeology. Mm-mm. It is not. A unicorn. Huh? Yeah.
They called
it
wild ox in the King James
version. Mm-mm. No. No. That is not a bull. It's, yeah. The New King James. Yeah, that's just like they call the Leviathan a whale or something. It's not. Yeah. Okay. Yeah, but archaeology from where? From the world. Well, I'm not saying that there wasn't a bull with a horn, a single horn. I'm not saying that's what it was. There wasn't. But that's not what biblical unicorn. Well, because now look here at this verse. I'm not saying that what you saw wasn't there and what they drew, but all I'm saying that there could have been a bull with one horn. Okay. Do what? Yeah. Yeah. Well, some of them have one, some of them have two. Yeah. And so, but now let's. Yeah. Okay, but now let's look here now. Let's look at the Bible, okay? Isaiah 34 verse 7, and the unicorn shall come down with them, and the bullocks. Now what's that? That's an ox. That's a cat. That's cattle. Okay. So he distinguishes the two. So the unicorn shall come down with them, and the bullocks with the bulls. So there you are. And their land shall be soaked with blood. So you got the bulls of Bashan, and which is a picture of demonic creatures. But now he distinguishes here, they're all different. Now, you can say a bullock is a bull. Well, it's right. It is. They're an ox. But they distinguish the difference between them, and he puts them all together. So, Bobby, I have no doubt that through mythology and all that, then you've got bulls with this one horn, and they're classifying as unicorn. But the Bible says no. Now, they're there, and I'm not denying that, because the Bible says they're. And they may even have one horn, okay? And their dust be made fat with the fatness. For it is the day of the Lord's vengeance. So I'm going to say these things were on the earth at one time. and they'll be, now notice, it's coming down, and the unit insurance come down with them. Well, with who? The sword, but go back to verse 6. The sword of the Lord is filled with blood, is made fat with the fatness, with the blood of lambs and of goats, and with the fats of kidneys of rams. For the Lord hath a sacrifice in Bozrah, and a great slaughter in the land of Edomia. What is that? That's Battle of Armageddon. That's Armageddon. Okay, and the unicorn shall come down with them, with the bulls and the bullocks, with the bulls, and their land shall be soaked with blood, and their dust made fat with fatness. For it is the day of the Lord's vengeance, and the year of recompense for the controversy of Zion. And so I'm not going it looks, and everything that I've saw in the Bible about unicorns, they are horses. Now, mythology, whatever, I have, and I'm sure there's probably bulls with one horn. They might have called them a unicorn. I'm not saying they didn't. But where did they come down from? And see, and what are they doing? They're there in this battle of Armageddon. It's in the day of the Lord's vengeance and the year of recompense for a controversy of Zion. And it says in verse 9, and the streams thereof shall be turned into pitch, and the dust thereof into brimstone, and the land thereof shall become burning pitch. You know what this is a picture of? Hell. These things are in hell on earth, and it shall be quenched not, and it shall not be. What is this? Where these things are at? During the millennial reign, the pit will be on earth. Hell will be opened up, and you'll see it, and it burns day and night. And that's where these things are at. That's what it looks like. Okay? So anyway, look at Malachi, the last book in the Old Testament. Malachi chapter 4. What you mean when God created the animals? Oh, sure. Yeah, they were. Yeah, I have no doubt about that. There was a lot of animals. Well, you've got to remember that only five people survived the flood. Right? Well, they no doubt they might have saw drawings on caves and stuff like that. But there was unicorns. Matter of fact, there used to be a song about the unicorns. Yeah. Yeah, and that they were foolish, but they were all destroyed in the flood, just like several other species. Well, that was a centaur and all them. Yeah. Does it? Yeah. Okay, yeah. So what are they? These are demonic type animals that No, but they come down with them.
I've never
No, did you say the last unicorn died in 1600?
1600
in
Poland.
The
king of Poland,
she's right.
Huh?
She's right.
Yeah.
Last one died in 1600.
I can't remember exact date. I used to have it written down, but I lost
it. I figured they were all destroyed in the flood. He must have then.
But I'll tell you something else. The Pegasus, the winged horse.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, that supposedly had a horn on his head too.
That's right, they did. Yeah. So what was it? It was probably mixed between a unicorn and a person. Yeah. Yeah. And they came down into animals too. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I've heard of that. Yeah.
But I thought the angels that came down were evil.
They were. Some of most of them, yeah.
Yeah.
In Genesis chapter 6.
But for them to have such a beautiful animal, come out of their body.
Yeah.
Women.
Yeah. So anyway, you see what I'm talking about. This is all coming from Revelation 14, so anyway, now go to Malachi. Malachi 14. No, Malachi 4. Malachi 4, look at verse 1. For behold, the day cometh that shall burn as an oven, and all the proud, yea, and all that do wickedly shall be stubble, and the day that cometh shall burn them up, saith the Lord of hosts, that it shall leave them neither root nor branch. That's what's going on here. It's a second coming, and we read that over in Revelation 19 about what's going on. So all these things that's going to be going on at that time, okay? And so, I didn't know that about that last unicorn. That's... okay.
There was like 8 of them left, and they put, or 16 of them left, something like that, put them on this duke or lord or somebody on his property. Had a lot of property. He wanted to protect them as long as he could, and the last one died in 1600s, like 1658 or something like that.
Anyway, all right. I never saw one. No, I wasn't around, so I mean... but when you... but you look at the horn of the rhinoceros. Of course, the Chinese and them are using that for an aphrodisiac. And they're being slaughtered it's worth thousands and thousands of dollars. Right. Yeah. 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 And so it's.
Well,
he probably did, yeah. Yeah. Well, yeah, a lot of them used to be here. And so, anyway. Well, now you're opening up another can. Yeah. Okay. So anyway, I read some articles back to. I was reading books about cults and things, and I remember they was showing drawings and stuff about what you was talking about this bull that had one horn, and when it talks about the bulls of Bashan, I wondered if it wasn't talking about that a lot of time, because it's a demonic being. But as spiritual, Yeah, but a spiritual, these are spiritual beasts. Yeah, so anyway. So, all right, well, let's see. I think we can kind of let it go there. And.